Well, we're on one of my favorite topics, as you know, universalism, radical love, most specifically, God's radical love, God's unconditional love for all humanity, It feels like safety, and it feels like home. And those are two words that I think are very significant in the human experience. Safety and home. I believe that those are two concepts that are crucial for us to feel centered and clear and healthy and resilient in our lives. Universalism made of God a refuge, a safe haven where we can nestle in and feel safe. Our inclusiveness as a Unitarian Universalist congregation is a really beautiful part of the Universalist legacy, and it is an emblematic it is emblematic of the treasure that this community of faith is, that this our chosen faith has to offer. I want to read to you a piece by Reverend Richard Gilbert. It's called At Homeness. It's a pastoral meditation. Be silent, be still, be serene in this house of the Spirit. Put aside all noises that annoy, all sounds that irritate, the cacophony that confounds. Here you are at home. Leave behind frustrations that belittle, the causes that fret. Put away all the plans to be made, things to be done, victories to be won. Here you are at peace. Breathe deeply. Clear the mind of cluttered thoughts. Here you are at home. Sit easy and be at rest. Feel your body recover its resilience, your mind its bearing, your spirit its strength. Once again, we have come home. We feel the collective power of our companions, the warmth of their welcome, the support of their caring. We who have been wanderers groping for something, we know not what, are again at home. Here is the place for us. We are at home in this sanctuary and with these people. We are at home on this globe and with all who dwell upon it. We are at home in the cosmos, our home for all times, past all times to come. We are at home here. Welcome home. Now that doesn't sound so radical, does it? It sounds nice and easy, and isn't that lovely? But it is radical. It's very radical. Because in order to feel at home, in order to be here in beloved community that accepts one another truly, we needed a little help. Now, the early history of Universalism is fraught with troubles and efforts and many, many difficulties. Why? Because what was going on in Christianity at that time was not the concept of radical love. While the very early Christians did believe in universal love and salvation, that changed dramatically in the third century with the Nicene Creed, which created the Trinity as the only doctrine of the church. So that remained status quo for a very, very long time. You could not believe anything else. And then we'll jump to what happened in America with Universalism. John Murray had been a preacher in England where he was a Universalist and ran into a lot of trouble there as well. And so he came to the United States in 1770, and his ship got wrecked right off of New Jersey. And he was coming to America not to be a preacher. He had no intention of doing that anymore. He had had enough trouble. But he was asked by his shipmates to go aboard and try and seek help. So he went in his little boat to the shore, and there he was met by Thomas Potter, who was a Universalist, who had built a little chapel. And he had built a little chapel because he had a vision of a Universalist preacher coming and starting a congregation there. So he told, you know, Murray that, "You're the miracle. You're the answer to my vision and my prayers." And Murray said, "I don't think so, but let me get some provisions back to the boat. And if we're still wrecked here for a while, I'll come back on Sunday and do something for you." Well, they remained wrecked, and Murray came ashore, and that was the beginning of that Universalist gathering. Murray later went on to become the first Universalist. He founded the first Universalist church that was really established in this country, and that was in Gloucester, Massachusetts, and it's still there and active. I have visited. He also broke with history by inviting free slaves to become members of his congregation. This was the first of any church in this country to do that. Another important fact of Universalist inclusiveness was that in 1863, a century later, the Universalists became the first denomination in this country to ordain a woman as minister. So these are huge breakthroughs in inclusiveness. You know, when we just kind of take it for granted a little bit that we're open and inclusive, but there's a lot of history that went into that. Imagine being the first church that welcomed freed slaves into your meeting house. That was very powerful. Ours is a far more radical faith than many really realize. We believe in human goodness, that little light, that little light. Radical love. So why is that so important? Why do we need it? Well, Richard Gilbert wrote another little piece. I'm not going to read it, but the title of it is "Far More Human Than Otherwise." We are far more human than otherwise, and we all know what that means. We're fallible, we're scared, we make mistakes. We're far more human than otherwise. We all experience that in our lives. We are all belonging to what Albert Schweitzer called the fellowship of those who bear the mark of pain. And that's why radical love is needed, and that's why the concept of safety and home is universally needed, and that's why universalism is such a gift to us and a gift that we can share with others. You don't find it everywhere. It is our culture. It is our heritage. Universalism moved away from Calvinism. That was a tough belief system. John Calvin was the 16th century Swedish reformer who taught that through Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, all people were forever tainted with original sin. Original sin at birth. You had that mark on you at birth. In other words, there was nothing you could do about it. That was how you were born, because of the doctrine of predestination. The doctrine of predestination said that there were a few elect that were preordained by God to have salvation, and the rest of you, you know, sorry, there's really nothing you can do about it. There's just no entrance into heaven. You know, you weren't in the group, and that club is closed, and you can't get in. And that was really the predominant belief system before the universalist approach of, you know, God's love of universal salvation for all. You don't have to earn it. You've got it by virtue of being a human being. You have the mark, not of original sin, you have the mark of God's love on you. Safety, home, and love. Calvinism stressed the opposite. It stressed separation, setting us apart from one another, conflict, eternal damnation. Now that's pretty scary. When you think about those concepts, your body responds. You can feel your body contract and close down. You can even sometimes feel your mind go, that's enough, and kind of close down, because it's not nurturing. It's not what we need, because we are all more human than otherwise, and we need safety and home. So, we can create our own hell on earth. We know that. It's not hard to do. We can create it in our homes. We can create it in offices. We see it in war. We see it everywhere. We can create our own right within our own minds. Universalism guides us away from that, towards connection, towards belonging, towards safety, and towards home. The Unitarian Universalist minister Gordon McKeeman writes this of hell. Hell is, in fact, a burning issue, for it is the issue of separation, the issue of separation, whether we can, with safety and impunity, set up little islands in the human experience and therefore protect ourselves against any relationship with the mainland. And universalism says unequivocally, it cannot be done. It cannot be done. Connectedness is in our human nature. I recently saw a film which I hope to show here called I Am. And if any of you have seen it, you'll know what I'm speaking of. It talks about connectedness being our nature. It gives scientific evidence about that being right in our DNA. So hell is when we refuse to recognize that and give in to all of the conflicts and ideas of separation. Hosea Ballou was an early American universalist, and he was one of the most influential universalists in the 19th century. Actually, at the end of the 19th century, are you ready for this? One out of every eight Americans called themselves a universalist. One out of every eight Americans called themselves a universalist. His theology was, I love this, a theology of happiness. He said, God is love, and when we feel love, we're happy, right? Anybody out there disagree with that? When we feel love, we are happy. He insisted that human beings were created to be happy, that was God's plan. Why? Because God loves us, and in that love, created us to be happy. He rejected the belief that human nature is fallen and only believed in a loving God. The story goes that Hosea Ballou, while riding on the circuit, in those days, the ministers, probably on horseback, rode from one town to another and preached at different churches around the countryside. And this story is that he was riding along the circuit with a Baptist preacher, and the Baptist preacher looked at Blue and said, "If I feared not the fires of hell, I could hit you over the head and steal your horse and saddle and ride away and still go to heaven." Blue replied without blinking an eye, "If you were a universalist, the idea would never occur to you." We like that. We're humans. We need love and support. And so today, we are more human than otherwise, and we seek a modern view of universalism. We can shine the light of this idea on the idea of salvation, universal salvation, release it from the connection with original sin forever, and perhaps salvation can be seen more as being made whole, can be seen more as recognizing our true connectedness, can be seen more as how we live our lives in this world, because our beliefs do create our behavior. And the more that we plug in to the notion of love, the more that we plug into safety, home, and connection, the less war there will be, the less we will be able to put up with laws that create aliens in our midst. Aliens? Gee, I thought they were human beings. I thought they were flesh and blood. I thought that we were all one. It's very important for us to stay connected to our roots and to the beliefs of universalism, because that connectedness, which comes from the idea of universal love, is what keeps us true in our lives and transforms our understanding of what it means to be a human being. Our opening words today were very important because they talked about looking beyond appearances, looking beyond arrogance, looking beyond, you know, brute strength, and recognizing the humanity that lies beneath those facades. I think that's what God does with us. I think that's what universalism is. That radical love. I'm not going to just see your exterior. I'm not going to stop there. Why? I'm a universalist. God doesn't stop there with me. God looks deeper with me at that light, at that soul, at that spirit. That's what I'm going to do. That's what my faith teaches me to do. That's what we do within our congregation. It is a blessing to be a universalist. We have a lot to thank that heritage for. Welcome home. You are safe. You are loved. Welcome home. Blessed be. Amen.